It is By the Bay for Friday, May 8th. A workshop on proposed rules for the city of Dillingham lasted over 4 hours last night. The council will convene for its actual meeting tonight. We take a look at what the ordinances would do and what they would mean for residents and visitors in Dillingham.
We parse through the trial and acquittal of Brian Vane Clark, who was arrested in 2016 for the murder of Ella Olson. Clark was found not guilty by an Anchorage jury in March. Bristol Bay Borough is beefing up its travel guidelines and its capacity to enforce local regulations, actions aimed at preventing the spread of an outbreak in the community. The Togiak herring fishery opens Sunday, but since only one processor is buying, harvest information is confidential.
And we check in with Utka Kalutzik-Snyder, BBNC's Culture Camp Project Director, for an update on her virtual Yuchton and Yuchuk sessions. All that coming up. We're going to get started on this lovely Friday afternoon. The Dillingham City Council is tackling four ordinances on COVID-19 measures at its meeting this evening. It's holding the meeting at 6 p.m. It was originally scheduled for yesterday night, but the workshop ran for over 4 hours, and the council decided to continue conducting its business today.
One ordinance requires face masks in public places like grocery stores, reminds people to practice social distancing, including on boats and vessels, whenever possible, and implements hygiene standards for businesses and vessel owners. Violation of those regulations would be considered a minor offense. Another mandate would prohibit them from using city facilities unless they had quarantined for 14 days and obtained a negative COVID-19 test within those 14 days.
And a third ordinance would require a 14-day quarantine for any individual who did not quarantine immediately before arriving in Dillingham. The ordinance's acceptable quarantine locations include a commercial fishing vessel, but only as long as not more than three people are quarantining on the vessel. Other locations include their Dillingham residence, if they are residents of Dillingham, or at the PAF, Peter Pan, or Gusty Walls boatyards. If they quarantined at a location maintained by the City of Dillingham, they would have to pay $100 a day. Finally, there was a proposal to establish fisheries-related use districts where only people who are quarantining in those areas and are involved in commercial fishing could enter and work in those areas.
Complicating matters is a holdup over CARES Act funding. It's unclear whether the governor can distribute the funds himself or whether the legislature has to reconvene to approve nearly $1 billion in funds statewide. That will be addressed at a legislative budget and audit committee meeting on Monday. But that's holding up funding from getting distributed to communities like Dillingham. There are also ongoing discussions about where to set up testing for fishermen. Suggestions include the harbor and the airport in Dillingham, or requiring that incoming travelers get tested directly before arriving in the community.
The Bristol Bay Borough Assembly passed a series of ordinances at its meeting Monday aimed at protecting against an outbreak of the virus in the community. The rules are in effect until June 30th, and the Assembly will review them at their June 1st meeting. The Assembly is still working on the details of its travel declaration. Every traveler to the borough must fill out a declaration form at least 2 hours before arriving. Fishermen must submit a travel plan or the protocol that their business submitted to the state as per Health Mandate 10 or 12. They have to include their quarantine plan and have no symptoms 48 hours prior to arrival. They also have to obtain a screening once they arrive if the borough requests it and that screening is available. They also have to wear face coverings when outside their personal lodging. Part of that includes borough personnel designated to meet planes when they arrive in King Salmon and obtain completed declarations from the passengers. The borough is hiring part-time workers to meet Alaska Airlines jets, while the police department will meet smaller charter planes. Bristol Bay Borough Mayor Dan O'Hara met with the Naknek Native Village Council, the King Salmon Tribe, and the South Naknek Village Council this week. That's according to a May 6 update on the borough's website. Manager Greg Brelsford, Assemblymember Eddie Clark, and Clinic Director Mary Swain with the Chamai Health Center were also on the call meeting. Swain did not release how many tests are currently available in the borough, but according to the Bristol Bay Borough's website, she said that at least 30,000 tests would be available for the summer fishing season. Now, KDLG is working to confirm the accuracy of those numbers. We have not yet independently confirmed that. But Swain also said the Chimay Clinic has administered about 150 tests locally within the last 2 days. The tribes agreed to meet again next Tuesday to address future concerns and stay updated on the borough's progress. Swain has also secured 3 additional facilities to mitigate COVID-19 risks to the community. 2 facilities are for monitoring people in isolation and medical quarantine, and 1 is a contained trauma emergency room that has been ordered, and those are expected to be operational by the end of May. The borough and the Public Works Department will identify and prepare sites for those facilities. They're also working to prepare the community pool as a testing site. Chimay requested funding from the Borough Assembly to fund the clinic's extra needs in response to COVID-19. All expenditures are expected to be reimbursed through the CARES Act. The borough also wants to close the borough dock to fishermen this season. That's to prevent the port staff from getting ill, which would force the borough to close the port for at least 14 days during the season. If the port is not in operation, processors can't deliver salmon products to the dock. Borough Manager Greg Brailsford said in an update on the website that would be catastrophic for the industry. Possible alternative locations for fishermen are identified are the Peter Pan Dock in Naknek and the Bulkhead in King Salmon.
Naknek Hospital in Dillingham now has 2 emergency ventilators ready for temporary use on coronavirus patients. Specifically, it has filters for ventilator use. Dr. Kathy Heinman is the clinical director of the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation in Dillingham. She says that they also have ventilators that can be operated manually and that the filters for manual ventilators can also be used on the mechanical equipment. BBAHC has conducted more than 40 coronavirus tests so far, and Hindman says they are testing more patients according to new guidance by the state.
We're testing everybody that's admitted to the hospital for inpatient care, testing everybody that comes in and stays in boarders' quarters here at the hospital, testing anybody that is going into Jake's place for a day there, and are working hard to help the health of the people that we're charged to serve.
Results from rapid test machines can produce false negatives, meaning a patient who has COVID-19 can have a test result that comes back as negative. Kanakanak Hospital has been sending all rapid test results to the state lab to verify the results. Hindman says that they currently have enough kits to continue increased testing, though she does not anticipate they will have enough to test the entire fishing fleet. Kanakanak Hospital is also looking to increase its nursing and nurse practitioner staff. According to Bristol Bay Borough Manager Greg Brailsford, the chief of staff for Governor Mike Dunleavy, Ben Stevens, said that he would inform communities about what security consultants would be considering as the state works on a plan to assist with enforcement. But several people also voiced frustration at the lack of communication between the governor and local entities. Robin Samuelson, the CEO of Ocean Beauty Seafoods, a Chugyong Tribal Council member and chairman of BBEDC, said he was disappointed in Dunleavy's response.
We are not asking for everything under the sun. We're asking for people to get tested before they come to Bristol Bay.
Thomas Tilden, first chief of the Chukayung tribe, said that the tribe is continuing to work to address health and safety issues, as well as basic logistics ahead of the summer. He said the focus must be on enforcement on the state and local levels.
Our tribe has set up a committee to take a look at the funding when we receive it, as to where it will go, make recommendations to the council. But it is very frustrating, but it's work that we must continue to do. I know that, you know, at the city council the other night, I emphasized that I feel as though that I'm sitting on the middle of a highway here with a 16-wheeler driven by Mr. Dudley coming at me with no brakes.
Kendra Gottschalk, an administrative assistant for the Naknek Native Village Council, says the tribe has amended its travel resolution because they don't have the capacity to restrict movement around their community. Gottschalk says that finding supplies has been a frustrating process, but they did receive an order from the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and they're trying to get those materials placed around town. Meanwhile, activity has been picking up in Naknek.
Naknek's really busy right now. It's surprising the difference that happened from last weekend to this past weekend. There are tons of people in town working. The processors are here starting up. So enforcement is a huge issue.
Over in Port Hyden, Gerda Cosbrook with the Port Hyden Village Council says that the community is also preparing for the season by stocking up on as much protective equipment and supplies as possible.
We bought PPE, we bought air concentrators, we bought nebulizers, we bought communications with everyone. We quarantined places for people who come in. The crew members, having a place for them where they could quarantine.
Cosbrook says that while enforcement has been a concern in Port Hyden as well, airlines are informing the council of any newcomers. The tribe has also requested that Area M fishermen not travel through the community this summer. There are no recorded cases of COVID-19 in the Bristol Bay area as of this afternoon. Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services inadvertently posted a practice COVID-19 test result for the Dillingham area to its raw test data site. That led to some confusion, though, on Tuesday in a region where anxiety over the spread of coronavirus during the upcoming fishing season is high. The test result was positive, but it was not from a real patient. Instead, it was a practice result that was sent over to the state's raw data site and labeled as positive to ensure that the electronic reporting stream was working, according to Louisa Casterdale with the Division of Public Health. Casterdale said in an email that positive results from real patients are called into staff so they can, quote, begin an investigation and connect directly with the healthcare providers and patients, unquote.
The Bristol Bay region has limited healthcare capacity. Its sole hospital has 12 inpatient beds and 2 emergency ventilators for use on coronavirus patients. As fishermen and workers travel to the region for the fishing season, communities are working to implement additional safety measures, like 14-day quarantine and travel guidelines, to protect residents from a potential outbreak of the virus. Dillingham resident Ella Olson, 55, was murdered in 2015. Brian Vane Clark was arrested in 2016 for allegedly killing and robbing her. Clark, now 40, was acquitted on all charges by an Anchorage jury in March. Clark's trial was originally set for Dillingham in February, but bad weather before the trial prevented the legal teams from traveling to the community. The trial was moved to Anchorage. Several pieces of crucial evidence were lost in the Dillingham police investigation into Olson's murder 4 years ago. The evidence included photographs of a digital voicemail from Clark to one witness, pictures of other witnesses' hands and shoes, audio recordings from a 911 call, and a telephone interview with someone else. Text messages that were sent by the victim, Ella Olson, around the date of the incident were also lost. Former Sergeant Rodney Etheridge was the case officer. Etheridge was questioned by both the state and defense about the missing evidence before the trial. Court notes from that day show that he did not know where the missing evidence was. Here's Dillingham Chief of Police Dan Pascarillo.
Despite how hard you try and work, nothing is ever perfect. And by the time this case went to trial, various things happened. Photographs got misplaced, which nobody knows what happened to them, but since there are photographs taken by the same person, it could be a misplaced SD card. Nobody knows. A couple of telephone recording interviews and the 911 call were unable to produce because that particular 911 system happened to break.
When evidence is lost in a police investigation, the jury must assume that any information gathered from that missing evidence would have been beneficial to the defendant. That's called a Thorne instruction, and it was applied in Clark's trial. Chief Pascarillo, Prosecutor Dan Shorey, and Defense Attorney Greg Parvin each confirmed that several key witnesses pled the Fifth Amendment and refused to testify. Shorey says among the reasons people can invoke the Fifth Amendment is if their testimony could result in their own criminal exposure. Among those who took the Fifth were lead investigator Rodney Etheridge and the victim's daughter.
A proceeding was held with the judge, and then she requested immunity, and immunity was declined. There were several other witnesses who had committed criminal offenses, and they too requested immunity, and those requests were also denied.
Etheridge no longer works for the police department. Chief Pascarillo says he was let go for reasons unrelated to the investigation into the murder of Ella Olson. Pascarillo could not comment further. Another person who police arrested on a felony warrant claims that Clark confessed in 2016 to the murder of Ella Olson. Clark was brought into custody shortly after. This person was not called to trial by the defense or the state. Court notes and Chief Pascarillo confirmed that this person was never an informant for the police department. It was also found that his story contradicted other evidence collected in the investigation. Clark was found not guilty of the 3 felony murder charges and 1 felony charge of robbery. Parvin spoke on behalf of the defendant.
Brian Clark has always maintained his not guilty pleas, always maintained his innocence. it's unfortunate that his life has been impacted to such a degree that it has.
The 5-week trial wrapped up on March 27th. Unless newly discovered evidence emerges indicating someone else committed the crime, Ella Olson's case will remain closed.
Thanks for that update, Tyler. We are turning now to the Togiak herring fishery, which opened on Sunday. Staff with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game observed small schools of herring throughout the district Sunday and small spawning events in several bays around the region. Staff also saw a large biomass, approximately 40,000 tons, outside of Hagmeister Spit. Purse seiners can fish from Togiak Reef to Cape Newenham and from Right Hand Point to Anchor Point, while fishing is closed half a mile around Summit Island. Matervik and Ungalithlik Bays are also closed by regulation. Gillnetters can fish the Egg Island section. Fishing for both the purse seine and gillnet fleets is open until further notice. You can tune into ADFNG updates on the fishery for day-to-day information on where those fishing districts are opening and closing. Since Icicle Seafoods is the only processor, all harvest information is confidential. Finally, on this Friday afternoon, many Alaskans are feeling stressed and anxious during the coronavirus pandemic, but a virtual series of Yurok and Yurton sessions from a teacher who grew up in the Bristol Bay region aims to connect people even as they are physically apart. I talked to the instructor of those sessions, and I have this report.
You always want to first start on your right-hand side. You're going the world out there, the world in here. We dance.
That's Atka Kalutzik-Snyder. She's teaching Yurok traditional dancing and singing. And this particular dance is called Klamta Nunani Khuti, Our World's Inner Beauty. Kalutzik-Snyder grew up in Dillingham and Aleknagik. Now she lives in Anchorage and works as the Culture Camp Project Director at the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. She had a lot of plans for this year, including piloting its first culture camp.
And that had to be placed on hold due to COVID-19.
Since people aren't able to get together in person, she says they are finding ways to get together virtually. BBNC created a Facebook group to host virtual Yurok and Yurton sessions. It's called Bristol Bay Amkhazka, Bristol Bay Nakanka.
Kazkhik is Yurton and Sukhston, referring to community house, and Nakanka is Dena'ina for our house. And so as a part of this page, we plan to provide a number of resources, and one of those is our virtual Yurok sessions.
Kalutzik-Snyder says that Yurok is a way for Yupik people to celebrate their way of life and connect with each other. It's an expression of their culture and history, their way of telling stories. And she says Yurok encompasses more than just the English translation of dance, which is most familiar to non-natives.
Yurok has a way of grounding us. It's a way of prayer. It's a connection with our ancestors and our heritage. And it's really amazing how refreshed and rejuvenated I feel after Yurok, and it certainly helps for me to relieve stress.
The classes are a way to engage with local culture, and everyone can participate. The sessions take place every Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. One of the first dances Kalutzik-Snyder is teaching is the one we played earlier, Klamta Nunani Khuti. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross. And I caught up with Utkuk yesterday to talk about how the classes were going. Here's what she said.
They're going really well. We've had pretty good turnout. Maybe like 14 different people calling in last week. We've learned 3 dances so far. The one I shared last time, we've learned that one. Which is a purification song. And the Agurak dance, which had been shared by Chuna McIntyre, was the last one that we learned. And we've had people of all ages join. We've had a number of young kiddos and then older adults and elders, so it's been a lot of fun, and it's a good way to end the work week.
How are the I saw also that you you also started virtual Yurton sessions, and I also wanted to check in and see how that was going and what the structure was for those gatherings.
Yeah, so I started virtual Yurton sessions every Thursday during the lunch hour as well, starting at 12 noon. Those have been going well. We've had some good turnout. So far, we've just, you know, learned the basics, the sounds, the Yupik alphabet sounds. And we've learned for people to introduce themselves in the language. And so it's pretty informal, just getting together, learning some Yupik, and just engaging as we're able to virtually. And it's definitely more difficult to do it virtually than in person, but it's been fun trying to figure everything out. We're slowly starting to develop some other, and we're still, I think, in the very initial and beginning stages as to what this cultural digital programming can look like since we aren't able to get together in person. So we're looking at hosting virtual art sessions in the future, creating little packets that we can maybe send out. And so nothing's set in stone yet. We're starting with these two for now, but stay tuned and keep checking back because we hope to have some other offerings in the future.
Great. Some good news there. Kayana, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk.
Kayana, thank you, Izzy.
And that just about does it for the show on this Friday afternoon.
Let's talk about what's going on outside. Here's the weather. In Dillingham currently, it's 52 degrees with partly cloudy skies. An east wind around 3 miles per hour. Today, mostly cloudy with isolated rain showers, highs in the mid-40s to upper 50s, and east wind 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts reaching 45. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers in the evening, lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s, east wind 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 40. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 50s to lower 60s, and east wind at 10 to 25 miles per hour. In the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay, today a northeast wind at 25 knots, seas at 5 feet. Tonight, east wind 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. From Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, today a northeast wind 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. Tonight, a variable wind at 10 knots, becoming southeast at 20 knots after midnight. From Port Muller east, an east wind at 20 knots, seas at 5 feet. There are small craft advisories for both sections as well. In the tide forecast at Clark's Point, high tide will be at 4:14 p.m. at 18.4 feet. Low tide will be at 11 p.m. at negative 0.26 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide will be at 3:31 p.m. at 20.4 feet, low tide at 11:27 p.m. at negative 2.1 feet. At the Igikik River entrance, high tide at 2:20 p.m. at 16 feet, low tide will be at 9:48 p.m. at negative 2.4 feet. Over in Naknek, currently it's 53 degrees with sunny skies. Today, a mix of clouds and sun with gusty winds. A high of 54 degrees, winds east at 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. A low of 38 degrees, winds east at 25 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sunny along with a few afternoon clouds. High of 56 degrees, winds east at 20 miles per hour. In Unalakleet, currently it's 57 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Today, a mix of clouds and sun, a high of 54 degrees, winds east at 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low of 39 degrees, winds east at 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sunny, along with a few afternoon clouds, a high of 59 degrees, winds east at 15 miles per hour. Now I'm going to shoot it over to Izzy for some community announcements.
That's right, and guess what day it is today? It's May 8th, and that means it's the first day for Dillingham's Community Cleanup 2020. That community cleanup is today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Yellow ALPAR bags will be collected along the main roads by city workers. People can also take those bags from roadside cleanup to the landfill for free this weekend, and you can pick up yellow ALPAR bags and latex gloves in the lobby of the public safety building. Don't forget to wear your mask, maintain social distancing of 6 feet, and use gloves while doing your part to clean up Dillingham, and what a beautiful weekend it is to do that. The Dillingham City School District work session meeting takes place Monday, May 11th. You can join through Zoom or by calling in. It starts at 6 p.m. They're going to be looking at COVID-19 updates for the summer, graduation plans, and strategic planning updates. Bristol Bay Borough is hiring for several temporary workers to help with COVID-19 monitoring. They are looking for a COVID-19 monitoring program manager. They are also looking for a manager, and they are looking for an assistant to that manager as well. And you can contact the borough for more information on those positions and how you can apply by calling 907-246-4224. Bristol Bay Borough is holding their planning and zoning meeting on Tuesday, May 12th at 6 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers. You can join via WebEx, calling into that 1-844-740-1264. And the borough is also looking for a travel declaration program manager to help out with monitoring COVID-19 and people coming into the community. That is all for community announcements right now. Again, the Dillingham City meeting will take place this evening at 6 p.m. We're going to be airing that on 670 a.m. You can tune in to hear as the council works through those four ordinances the public commented on last night. And I think that does it for today. We're going to shoot it over to the music.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's all for today. Yep. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the meeting tonight. Take care.
Have fun cleaning up Dillingham. Okay, bye.
Bye.